Let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless you for today. We pray now that you will bless your word as it goes forth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. Have your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you think of a celebration, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What kind of party do you plan on having? What's the event that makes people the most celebratory? Birthdays. People make a big deal over birthdays. We can tell that every month when we sing the birthday song, right? Anniversaries, retirements, graduation parties, weddings, birth of a child. If you're in New Orleans, the death of a saint is a party. But why is it that when we think about celebrating great things in our lives, we don't typically think about celebrating what God is doing in our lives? Like we'll come and we'll praise and we'll thank God for maybe something that we have received or something we have gotten. But how often do you really stop and just thank God for what he's doing in your life? Today is our 153rd church anniversary, and we want to celebrate a tremendous history, a tremendous legacy. I am super proud and super humbled simultaneously to think about the fact that in 153 years, we've only had six pastors, and I'm honored to be number six. But I've got to be honest with you, as much as I am excited about celebrating the history of our church, I am even more celebratory and excited about what God is doing in your life. You see, God is doing some things in your life. I'm hearing the testimonies that are coming from you that is beyond what you could have thought, asked, or imagined. God is using some of you in ways that you didn't even dare to dream of. God is using you to change people's lives, in some instances whose lives you thought were hopeless and beyond help. But because you made a decision to let God use you, God has not only done some things to you and in you, but God has done some things through you. So today, for a few moments, I want to do something I've never done before in the history of our life groups, in the history of our campaigns. I want to end a 10-week series just adjusting a message that we use to start our 10-week series. I want to talk to you today from the thought, how to celebrate the activating of your yes, God. How to celebrate the activating of your yes, God. And maybe you might want to write over that why you should celebrate the activating of your yes, God. Acts chapter 9 is our foundational text today. It's the story of a man by the name of Saul who was a persecutor of the church. He would take and arrest and in some instances kill those who professed their faith in Jesus Christ. He was a bad man. He was so bad that when Christians heard his name and heard that he was coming, they would hide, they would cower, or they would run away. And in Acts chapter 9, we see now this man named Saul, whose name would be changed later to Paul. We see this man, Saul, having an encounter with Jesus. Now, just for somebody who may need this encouragement, I need you to know that there's always hope as long as you have life. That God can change a life no matter how bad a person may be. Here is Saul, a persecutor of the church, who in his conversion, his name changes from Saul to Paul. Here's a man who tried to destroy the church, whom God would save and use to write over half of the New Testament. Here is a man who was raised as a persecutor, as a hater, who became a person who not only loved God's people, but he challenged others to live out that faith day by day. And it was all because he had an encounter with Jesus. But there was a man before Paul could say, "Yes, God," as Saul. There was a man who said, "Yes, God," in order to make his "Yes, God" possible. And for somebody here today, I want to celebrate the fact that you saying "Yes, God" has resulted in somebody else being able to say "Yes, God." Some of the seeds have been planted. You don't even know about it yet. Some of the planted seed has been watered, and some of that watered seed has germinated into great fruit. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching wherever you are, you can go to our app, the Good Hope Church app, and download the outline in a fill-in-the-blank form. And you can do that on your smartphone or on your tablet device. Four things I want you to see today around this idea of celebrating the activating of your "Yes, God." And I need you all to be participatory today. So when we talk about celebrating, I need somebody to make some noise. Let me see if I can get some practice. Anybody want to celebrate today? Oh, man, y'all already got it. Y'all already got it. And those of you who are quiet, join in, all right? Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to celebrate hearing when God spoke to you. You need to celebrate hearing when God spoke to you. You know, we don't always hear God the way we should. And when we hear God, we don't always respond the way we should. But for somebody under the sound of my voice, you need to celebrate. Because you moved and heard God when he spoke. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. "Yes, Lord," he replied. The person who had just come to know Christ has many needs. And a new convert is a believer, but they are helpless and usually doomed to falling and returning to the world unless somebody intentionally reaches out to them and wraps their arms around them. So he is Saul. He is a prolific persecutor of the church, but as a new Christian, because he's had this encounter with Jesus, he's a baby in Christ. And he needs somebody now to help him. As a matter of fact, the irony is he needs somebody to help him out of the group he once persecuted. When God spoke to Ananias, he heard God. He was alert and sensitive, aware of and familiar with the voice of God. And look at what he said. He said, "Yes, Lord." God spoke and he heard. And this is the challenge facing you and facing me today. The question is not, is God speaking? The question is, are you listening? In that movie, The Color Purple, the song is sung, God is trying to tell you something, right? The question is not, is God speaking? Are you hearing what God is saying? And here's the truth of the matter. Many times we don't hear God until after we should have heard him. Ooh, I should have followed my first mind. You don't even want to give God credit for speaking then. You know, something told me. Instead of saying, the Holy Ghost told me. And I was just disobedient, right? You got to learn how to hear God. Yes to God only can come when you hear God speaking to you. Someone in here today, someone under the sound of my voice, you heard God and you said yes to God. You said yes in terms of your spiritual life and your spiritual journey. You said yes about becoming who God wants you to be. Not saying you're perfect, not saying you haven't made mistakes, not saying you haven't stumbled along the way, but you at least said yes somewhere along the journey. In Genesis chapter 22, Abraham said yes. Look at verse 1, the New Living Translation. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Isaiah heard God and said yes. Verse 8, Isaiah chapter 6, then I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, here I am, send me. And today, in our 153rd church anniversary, y'all, it's real simple, but I want to celebrate the fact that you heard God. Come on, come on, somebody make some noise. You heard God. One of the reasons I know you heard God is because you're doing some things you never thought you would do. Had a testimony of one of our group participants who was doing an interview with somebody about work she does in the hair care industry. And in this interview, here's what I learned. She had been asked to do an interview multiple times, and she always turned it down because she never felt confident within herself until she was in a Rooted group. And it was in that group that she discovered one of the major strongholds that she had been wrestling with her whole life, and it was shame. And she addressed that stronghold with those who were in her life group. And she recognized that it was that shame that was holding her back, that it wasn't her fault. It wasn't something that she should own, even though it was something that happened to her. And she combats this stronghold. And now she's doing an interview with a woman about an industry that she is so good in. And the lady asked her, why did you do this interview now? And she said, I was in a group called Rooted and Grounded. That's what she says. She says, and I learned that the stronghold was holding me back. And I recognized that it was keeping me from doing what God had called me to do. And I have fought that stronghold and overcome it. That's why I'm here today. My brothers and sisters, you got to hear God. You got to hear what God is saying. And can I tell you something about hearing God? Let me just throw this in as a side note. Write this down somewhere. When God says it, don't seek a second opinion from somebody else. Because you don't ever need somebody else to corroborate what God has said. Here's the second thing. Number two, you need to celebrate going where God wanted you to go. You need to celebrate going where God wanted you to go. Acts chapter 9, verse 11, the Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him so he can see again. Here is Ananias. God speaks. He hears God. But now we got a problem. Because God says, I don't want you to just hear me. I need you to go. And I'm not telling you to go somewhere easy. I need you to go check out that brother Tarsus from Tarsus named Saul. Now, can you imagine Ananias kind of saying to God, who? From where? You mean the one that's killing Christians? You want me to go find him? That's what you want me to do, God? You want me to go talk to him? See, sometimes, listen carefully, the going that God wants you to do is not only a physical journey. Sometimes it's a mental and emotional journey you have to make. You got to make a decision to change. Here's one of the things. I've been reading this great book called Reset. I just finished it on the trip. And it's a great book. And one of the things that Dan Heath talks about in the book Reset is the fact that too many people see reset as an addition to their life instead of doing something instead with your life. Let me say that again for somebody that missed it. Not and adding on to your life, but instead of in your life. That when you reset your life, you replace some things that need to be out and put some new things in. And for somebody in here, when God spoke to you, you heard God. God said, go, and you went where you had never gone before. Come on, that's something to celebrate. Am I right about it? Some of you have never seen yourself as a disciple, let alone a discipler. Some of you never prayed like you're praying now. You've never read your Bible like you're reading it now. You've never given like you're giving now. You've never served in your life like you are serving now. You've never been salt and light like you are salt and light now. And those intentional actions, that commitment to being what God has called you to be, to go, has not only changed your life, it's changed the lives of other people. See, here's what's interesting. Ananias is himself the answer to Paul's prayer. Saul is saved, converted. He needs help. He's praying, asking God for help, and God tells him Ananias is coming. Look for a man named Ananias. Ananias becomes the answer to the former persecutor's prayer. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Every time you go where God tells you to go, you allow yourself to potentially not only be obedient to God, but be the answer to somebody's prayer. Gentleman was telling me the story. He was leaving an event, and he just had this taste for McDonald's. He just had this taste. He wanted a quarter pounder with cheese, a meal, and a Coke. And he said he thought it was strange because he doesn't eat McDonald's. But he just had this desire to get a quarter pounder with cheese, French fries, and a Coke. He called his wife, asked if she wanted anything. She said, no. Why are you going to McDonald's? He said, I don't know. I'm just feeling led to go to McDonald's and get a quarter pounder, French fries, and a Coke. He goes through the drive-thru, gets the meal, and he's driving home. Pulls up at the corner, and the Holy Spirit, when the guy comes up and says, hungry, need food, the Holy Spirit tells him to give him the meal. He gives the guy the meal. The guy's about to go crazy because the guy that held the cardboard, the meal wasn't for him, it was for somebody else. He's going crazy. So the guy, who is a Christian, he says, you won't believe this. He said, my buddy over there is sitting there homeless, and he said he wanted a quarter pounder with cheese, French fries, and a Coke. And I told him, let's pray and ask God to provide it. Y'all, I'm just trying to tell you that you can be the answer to somebody's prayer. With leftover funds on that bus when we went into the Zulu village, we blessed that woman who had been praying for funding with our leftover change. People were so moved while the girls were performing and they were telling the stories and the young men, all of when they were telling their stories, people literally got up and just started taking money out of their pockets and out of their purses, saying, here. We positioned ourselves to be the answer to somebody's prayer. I don't know if you've ever had anybody come up to you and be the answer to your prayer. to show up and do something, and you look and you're like, wait a minute, huh? But imagine what Ananias felt like as he was the answer to Saul's prayer. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 2. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send workers into the field. No shortage of work. Just shortage of workers. No shortage of people who need God. Just a shortage of people who are willing to be used by God. Here's the third thing. We're talking about celebrating the activating of your yes, God. Number three, you need to celebrate doing what God led you to do. Verse 13, but Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I have heard many people talk about terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he is authorized by leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go. For Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias says, but Lord, it's a bad man. I heard you. I understand what you're telling me to do. I know where you're telling me to go, but now you're telling me to interact with this dude. But the Lord says, Ananias, I've got a plan for his life. And part of the plan for his life is you being obedient to my command. Y'all, I need somebody to hear me today, because the difference between heaven and hell for somebody is tied to your obedience. See, some of you have never thought about God using you, because here's what you thought church was. You thought church was coming to hear the preacher preach. Occasionally, not getting too rambunctious, not too emotional, but every now and then raising your hand. Want the choir to sing good enough for you to leave feeling good. Drop off your spiritual cover charge in the offering bucket. And make sure you haven't been offended too much so you can come back the next week. You came to church to get. You never came to be challenged to leave here giving. You come to talk about what you got, not what God has called you to give. And God says, I want to use you to change people's life. Ananias had to obey what and when God told him to. Listen, you said yes, God, when you chose to obey God. And here's what God needs you to do. Whatever he tells you to do, whatever opportunity he gives you, you've got to learn how to say yes, God, even when you don't understand what he's saying. You've got to understand it enough to say, yes, God. Even when what God has said is contrary to what you believe, even when God challenges you to do something that you're not comfortable doing, God says when you do it, when you say, yes, God, I can do great things through you. I've heard some testimonies, and I haven't even heard all of your testimonies, about praying and God answering prayers, about people who were unemployed, not for days, not for weeks, not for months, for over a year. And here's what's interesting. You didn't miss a meal. You ain't lose any weight. Right? You're not under a bridge. God has been faithful, not how you thought he would be, but he's been faithful nevertheless. Yeah, come on, that's something to celebrate. Everybody under the sound of my voice, I need you to know you've been chosen to be an instrument in the hands of God. God wants to use you, And you have no idea who God is going to use you to bless. Someone in here who didn't know the Lord in January of 2025, now you have a relationship with the Lord. Somebody who's watching, you had never discipled anybody. You had never been discipled. But in 2025, you made a commitment. You said, you know what, I'm going to join this life group. Or you made a commitment and said, I'm going to facilitate this life group. And God has done some amazing things in your life. Someone you never prayed consistently before January 2025. But you said, you know what, I'm going to activate my yes, God. And now you're praying more than you ever have. Somebody, you never read your Bible consistently. Somebody, you never served others consistently. Somebody, you've never given consistently. Somebody, you have never even identified a stronghold, let alone went into battle against that stronghold. Someone in here, you never thought you could help somebody else grow, let alone grow yourself. But God has used you in a powerful way. Look at Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. We must help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. 1 Peter 3:15, let's read it together. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope, as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Here's the last and final thing. Number four, you need to celebrate that your commitment to yes, God is helping others say yes to God. Your commitment to yes, God is helping others say yes to God. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 17. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Ananias took the initiative and intentionally found Saul. Somebody you need to celebrate because you activated your yes, God, and you have helped people to know and grow in the Lord. You activated your yes, God, and did what needed to be done to make other people feel God's love. I'm telling you, there's no greater joy than allowing yourself to be used by God to change somebody's life. If you think you feel good getting from God, I'm telling you, it is exponentially better when you allow yourself to be used by God to be a blessing to somebody else. Bible says Saul regained his sight, got baptized, ate some food, and regained his strength. Wasn't long after that that Saul, experiencing that conversion, changed his name to Paul and started preaching. Even though everywhere Saul went, excuse me, people remembered his past, but Paul was determined not to let his past keep him from fulfilling his promise to God in his presence. So when folk looked at Paul and said, wait a minute, weren't you Saul? He said, I used to be. I once was blind, but now I see. I've messed up in my past, but I'm doing better in my present. And I got an even brighter future in front of me. I'm trying to help somebody in here right now. Because for somebody, you may be allowing your past to keep you from claiming God's promise in your present. And I'm telling you, I don't care how many times the devil has said no, when you learn how to say yes to God, God can do beyond what you can ask, think, or imagine. And so today we celebrate not just 153 years, y'all. We celebrate you saying yes to God. We celebrate the fact that because of your yes to God, people in over 26 states have had an opportunity to say yes to God. Yeah. We celebrate the fact that some 1,700 people around the world have had an opportunity to know and grow in Jesus because of you saying yes to God. We celebrate the fact that we're seeing families come together. We're seeing children and parents reconcile. We're seeing brothers and sisters come together. We're seeing people pray like never before and study like never before and grow like never before and serve like never before and allowing people to experience God's love because you said yes to God. I want to encourage somebody today to say yes. In other words, one yes is not enough. I want to encourage you to keep saying yes. Because there's no limit to what God can do. Keep saying yes. Say yes, Lord, to your will. Say yes to his way. Say yes, Lord, I'll go. Say yes, Lord, I hear you. Say yes, Lord, I want to be used by you. Keep saying yes to God. Because the only limitation that will hold you back is a self-imposed limitation. Even the devil can't stop you when you say yes to God. Come on, give God some praise in this place. Father, we bless you and thank you for today. I thank you, God, because we started off this session in January talking about activate your yes. We said we were going to use that as our theme, the year of saying yes, God. And I thank you for those who said yes, because more people said yes in January than have ever said yes in the history of our church as we've moved through this discipleship cultural commitment. And God, I know there are those who under the sound of my voice who have said yes, and I want to encourage them today to keep saying yes. Some of them have said yes, but it's been a baby step yes. Some have said yes, and it's been a giant step yes. Whether it's been a baby step or a giant step, help them to keep saying yes. But there have been some who haven't said yes yet. They've just been standing there watching everybody else say yes. And God, I pray right now by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would move to help them to say yes. To say yes to your will. Yes to your word. Yes to your way. Yes to your work. Because our greatest fulfillment is when we allow ourselves to be used by you. God, I pray that your word has found fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people, locally, nationally, and internationally. And that somebody would know that their fulfillment in you does not come when they get from you, but it comes when they say yes to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.